6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shame is one of the earliest wounds we carry and one of the most painful. For a child, shame isn't just uncomfortable, it's unbearable. It's not, I did something bad. It's, there's something wrong with me. And because kids don't have the tools or context to process that feeling, they'll do whatever it takes to avoid it. Shame for a child is a threat of survival, and we adapt accordingly. Many of the coping mechanisms we carry into adulthood were built to keep that unbearable feeling at bay. We learn to perform, to perfect, to please, to numb, to control, disappear, all in the name of not feeling the deep, unshakable belief that we are somehow not enough. But here's the cruel irony. The very strategies we use to avoid shame are the ones that quietly reinforce it. We drink not to feel shame, then feel shame for drinking. We hide our needs to avoid rejection, then feel shame for being invisible. We pretend to be okay, then feel shame for being a fraud. The cycle is brutal and it's exhausting. But shame doesn't loosen its grip through logic or force. It heals through compassion, slowly, gently, with repetition. And one of the most powerful antidotes to shame is letting ourselves be seen in it, allowing someone else to witness the thing we've always believed made us unlovable, only to find out that it doesn't make us unlovable at all, that we're not alone, that we're not the only ones who feel this way, that our shame makes sense, but it doesn't have to define us. That is how we start to reclaim ourselves, not by fixing what's wrong, but by meeting the wounded parts of us with the kind of compassion we never received when the shame first took root. So some questions for discussion. What's a one behavior or coping strategy you find yourself doing to avoid feeling shame? Did you go the shameless acting in or shameful acting out route as a kid? What are some of the themes, specific messages that you tell yourself related to shame in your life? And can you see examples in your life where your shame is softened? So I've been thinking about the theme of shame throughout my life. And one of the things that I was thinking about, and I'm not sure if anybody else had this experience as a kid, of going from being the kind of like the golden child, hero child, to becoming the problem child and the scapegoat, and kind of the unique damage and wounds that came as a result of that. And, you know, the thing with being the golden child or the hero child is, like, I don't feel like I necessarily was performing or being somebody that I wasn't. I think naturally I did well in school and was well behaved. But then when the pain became so unbearable, I had to take another route. And the irony of that was that in certain ways, that is how I found connection, like through my parents. In spite of kind of being shamed, it was still attention. You know, even though the connection with my parents came through chaos, it was still connection, you know? And so then it kind of follows me, I feel like, into my adulthood, to then shift from being the problem of the family to then shifting into becoming the only person in the family that's healing and changing. And then to have that not be met. And I was just thinking about, even though I know on a conscious level that my parents are sick and that their lack of interest in my life has nothing to do with me, you know, even there's that insight, like I know that they're still a part of me that still feels like my parents' disinterest in me is some sort of a reflection of my worth. There still is a part of me, and it's not ruled by logic, but it's, you know, when the people that are supposed to love you and show a unwavering interest and support in your life are not those people, how can a part of us not feel, well, first feel like that feels horrible, but of course there's going to be a part of us that's like, if I were lovable enough, then they'd care, or is the only way that they can see me is if I'm the problem. The only way that they can actually pay any sort of attention to me is if I'm the problem. And so I feel like that's also been wrapped up a lot in the ways in which I've like, quote unquote, had like failures to launch in adulthood. The whole, I should be further along, or I should be more, you know, further healed. I think that there's parts that feel like I'm doing all this work and it's not getting me the love that I thought that I would hope for. And the last piece I'll just say is there's a shame in me feeling like I don't have a family. There's a shame in feeling like I don't have a family. But what I can say is that I can be so much more present for all of this. And it's not this unbearable panic sense. The volume has turned down on it so, so, so much for me. And it's such a smaller piece of who I am today when I used to just completely run my life and I had no fucking clue that it did.
So for me, I think my shame shows up in or through my body. It's probably why it's so hard for me to, you know, do somatic work, because it's like I don't want to go into my body. I think that's where my shame lies. And I'm always trying to like think about like, why is that? Why could that be? And what makes sense to me is the kid, I started wetting the bed at a really young age, around the time my father was violent. And that changed. And then I started just wetting myself even during the day. And I think the first time I ever talked about this was here on the Shit Show, maybe a year ago. And then I did again in a smaller group recently. And now here I am now doing it. And each time I share this experience, it gets a little easier because I'm not crying. But I couldn't control it, right? I couldn't control this, what my own body, right? Which is my house, right? Where I live. And I wanted to so badly, but I couldn't. And like that conflict, like was, I think I breathed that in and out throughout my entire childhood because I was so preoccupied with bringing extra clothes wherever I went, because if I had an accident, which I would want to hide it. And I have no memory of being ridiculed out in the world. All my memories of being brutally ridiculed from right within my home, which adds another layer, I think, of shame. You know, it just really drives it home. I suspect doing some IFS work would probably help with that. But right now, my work is all about understanding my covert narcissistic family members and how I fit into that. I was an internalizer. I didn't act out. I attacked myself. And I always thought I was the golden child. I never was, but I actually believed I was. I think that's because I spent so much time in my head creating the family that I wanted, that at some point I just needed to believe it, even in reality. I couldn't see that I was always the scapegoat. And I couldn't see it. I could see my siblings that, you know, they externalized all of their pain and they were aggressive. So it made it easy for me to conclude that I was okay, you know, that my mother loved me. But I can see now that that never was. And I also can see how maybe I needed to believe that as a way to protect myself. I'm not sure. But yeah, strange. Like I believed that I was the golden child, but I never was. That right there is just a mind fuck. That's all I have to say about that.
So internalizing the family you've always wanted and what you weren't able to get from your parents is really something that I've carried with me for a long time. And it just sort of seems like the way that I dealt with the shame of who my family of origin is and what was going on was to be small, avoid attention, sort of go inside. And I did well in school. I ended up trying to do my best to be as self-sufficient as I am. But I was just burdened by so many things growing up that my parents split. I was the oldest. I was always doing something. I was the person whose value was derived from what you could do, not from who you are and the intrinsic value you have as a person. And I find myself, when the last time I went to where my mom still lives was probably 3 years ago. And I, as we were leaving, my wife and I were talking in the car, and I was saying, I never want to go back. And it's kind of like going there sort of triggers this situation where I don't feel like I am who I really am when I am there. That the sort of association, the shame that goes along with all the screwed up things that have happened there, it's really a little bit too much to bear at times. And I think having that separation and choosing to live life the way that you do has been really helpful. But I think the big thing is the lack of interest that anyone has in me and what I can do and who I am as a person really sort of speaks loud and clear when I've sort of done a thought experiment. And I didn't call anyone in my family for the last 6 weeks, and no one reached out to me until my mom called me at 6 weeks in saying, I haven't heard from you. I'm worried about you. And it's kind of like, really? You were worried about me? That is sort of news. I don't quite believe it, but it's just sort of that, you know, the honest disinterest. And it wasn't about me as a person. It was me as information to put into a conversation loop that is happening with people that I don't know. So it's just, I come back to the notion that I am not who my parents are and who my parents were. And I think sort of carrying this burden of not being able to have fun and not being able to sort of relax, you know, 30 years after a lot of the trauma, it's still there. And it's something that I've been working hard on in the last 6 months to try to figure out how you can live a life more filled with joy. But God, it's hard. It's just the old patterns of being motivated to be valuable by what you can do come back in mysterious ways. So thanks for the time to share. Great topic tonight, Andrea. Thanks again.
This is a really great topic. Shame, I just feel like it's in every part of my being. And I didn't really realize that until like I really started therapy and deep diving and honestly coming to this support group. And last week in my session, I was doing some like parts work with EMDR and really realized a lot of body shame that I had developed from my parents, my dad, but then especially my mom that I'd never realized before, and a lot of like body dysmorphia and just how my sister and I were played against each other, you know, and weight was always a thing. And so I have a lot of shame about my body. And when I was pregnant, my dad loved to tell me every time he saw me how fat I was and how huge I was. And, you know, my mom loved to remind me, oh, I was so much skinnier than you when I was giving birth. And that's not okay to say. And it really messes with you. And realizing that I'd heard that my entire life and how it has completely followed me into adulthood. And it's really hard to love myself and to like rewire your brain that you are not these horrible, disgusting things that your parents tell you. But what's hard is that they're your parents, right? So as a child, you take what your parents say for what it is, right? Because you don't know any better. And then I feel like that just developed into my shame and being able to advocate for myself. And unfortunately had, you know, some sexual abuse that happened. I'll never forget when I was raped in college and I called my mom and I was so ashamed. And I told her, and her response was, well, this is why we don't drink so much, Kristen. And just the shame of that was just horrible. And just started working through that recently with therapy and just accepting that it wasn't my fault and telling myself what my mom should have said, what a mom should have told her daughter in that moment. And it's just hard because then I was her golden child. But then in that moment, I felt like I was a failure because I didn't do the, you know, I wasn't this strong, independent woman that my parents told me that I needed to be because, you know, I got myself in these situations. But another big part of the shame is, like you were saying, Andrew, about, you know, there's shame in me that I don't have a family. And when I first decided to go no contact with everyone, you know, I was really ashamed. And I was ashamed that the narrative that was going to be said that I knew that my parents and my sister were going to tell people that I knew was not correct at all. But it took a lot of strength and power to, like, I learned that silence was my most powerful tool. And I, you know, 2 years now, I see that. But I still have a lot of shame with that because it's like, you know, some of the other you guys were saying, like, I just still think, like, what's wrong with me? Like, what? Why am I not lovable enough? I did all the things my parents told me to do. You know, I took care of my sisters. I went to college. I got my doctorate. I have a successful career. I have a husband. I have kids. I have my house. Like, what is wrong with me? And I know that there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with them. But it's hard to accept that still because, like, there's still that little kid inside that just, like, you just want love and acceptance. And I think the, you know, the one question where you're asking about what part has softened, I think it's that part. And it's because of you guys and this group that the part of the shame of not having a family has softened because I've met people like you, amazing, beautiful people who, you know, are in similar situations or have similar experiences or are no contact. And I'm not alone. And that was just, this group has really just been like the biggest changing point for me in my healing. And I'm forever grateful for all of you. And yeah, so thank you for letting me share.
As the moderator of the CSA group on this platform, we talk about shame. We talk about shame almost every Wednesday night. We talk about shame because that's the glue to all this trauma that we're dealing with. I live in shame. I've created a shame list. I have a shame tree. Sometimes I hit every fucking branch on the way down till I hit the ground. It's like I climb that tree and lose a footing and hit every branch and just start thinking about all the shame shit that just hits me as I'm like doing a daily activity, right? Whether it be simple as mowing the grass or doing a laundry or doing whatever, doing the dishes can bring up a little part of shame. And even our partners, our spouses, our family members can trigger that shame in us on a daily basis. Like other people have said, we're trying to find, you know, that self-love and having that self-compassion for ourselves of when we do hit this shame level of, holy shit, watch out, man, because it's going to happen. We can't stop it. And the things that I have to do to calm myself is either A, listen to music, or B, find out where it's coming from. Who says that shit to me in my head? Sometimes it's a monotone voice and I can't understand who it is, but I hear it loud and clear. Is it a male or female's voice? I don't know, but it's a voice. Because when we're beaten down as children so much that we lose that identity to recognize that we're worthy to be here and to do all this. But on Wednesday nights in our group, the shame is always there. And all we can do is just mitigate it, lessen the blows, and start having compassion and being mindfulness. It's a little bit of mindfulness, just a little bit each time. The worst ones I've been able to not think about or actually believe in anymore, right? Yeah, we think about them, right? Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, crap. Don't think about that. That's horrible. That's not true about yourself. It's 6 years of doing this shit. So it just takes time and a little bit of time and a little bit of hope. You too can take this glue of shame and get it off of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Appreciate what everyone has said. I certainly relate to all of that. You know, it just seems like my life is just covered over with shame. Early on, from I think I was in maybe like fifth grade or something like that, and I knew that I was made fun of, and it seemed like my brothers and sisters were made fun of, and I just had this thought, what is wrong with us, like with my family? And I just didn't have any clue. But I know that the way I was raised, you know, come from a big family, have four brothers and four sisters, but we didn't talk with our neighbors. We had a fence around our house And I was raised to believe that basically the world outside was scary and dangerous and don't trust anybody out there. And what was going on at home didn't make sense to me. And I remember early on, you know, feeling like there was something wrong with me because I wasn't as smart as my brothers and sisters, because I wasn't as fast. You know, there was all this comparison that went on. And, you know, I carried that on as a teenager. I was, you know, I wasn't athletic. I wore glasses. I was a dork, all this stuff, you know. And I remember when I first started going to AA meetings, I was a lot younger than I am now. And when I would go to meetings and hear people tell their stories, and I would feel ashamed because I had not drank as much as they did. You know, what kind of fucked up stuff is that? You know, I didn't mess up my life as bad as you did. So there's something wrong with me, you know, and I would share that. And they would say, well, go out and drink some more if you want to, you know, thanks a lot. So, you know, this sense of just not being enough so much at my core, and the way that played out in relationships, I didn't know it at the time, but I kept choosing people that were, that had the same shame stuff that I did, and would shame me for not being man enough, not being whatever enough, not making enough money, whatever. There was always something where I'm just not enough. And it took a long time for me to begin to say, okay, you know, I am good enough at something. And for me, I think that was when I became a teacher and I realized that I had a job teaching. And it occurred to me, so I'm like in my 30s or something. And okay, they gave me a job. It's a nice school system. They keep me rehiring me. So I'm evidently doing a good job. It just took a whole lot of evidence. But, you know, that sense of shame is a lot less today, in part because I do know so much about where I came from, about people who raised me, the situation they raised me in. Was to call it dysfunctional is just make it sound nice. It was really fucked up, okay? It was very badly fucked up. And my dad was a serious alcoholic. My mother had mental health issues. There was all sorts of stuff going on, you know? And the fact that I survived that I'm here today, to me, that gives me, I can say, look, I'm a survivor. And I've survived this far. And that means a lot, that I'm still here. And I've been through some difficult marriages. Difficult isn't the euphemism for fucked up. Okay. And, you know, I'm doing some stuff today. My life is better than it has ever been. You know, I'm putting moisturizer on my face, which might sound silly to some people, but for me, it's a way of loving myself. This is the things that I have to do to get rid of shame, is to treat myself better. Because as long as I was waiting for someone else to do it for me, it never worked. And, you know, I have a 27-year-old son who loves me. I have a grandson who loves me because they've seen that I can love them. So shame is still there. It's still there, but it's not nearly as powerful as it used to be. Like, for instance, today at work, I'm a counselor, of course. And I had some people, I was talking to them, and I kind of cut down to the core of what was really going on. And I said, you're saying this, and what it means is it means fear, okay? You don't feel adequate. And these people are like, how did you know that? Well, because I've been there, man. I've been there. And so these things that at one point I was ashamed of, and sometimes still am, have become tools for me to help myself and help other people. Some days. And some days I'm still fucked up. And I wake up and I think, dang, why is it taking this long? I don't know why. It just is. So anyway, I'm glad to be here. I relate so much to what I've heard, and I've needed this for so long. And this just is a perfect timing for me. So thanks, everybody.
All right, Shit Show ladies. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels so much damn harder than normal and you can't figure out why? I already know the answer to that question is yes. And boy, have I definitely had more than my fair share of those days and totally get just how frustrating this can be. But recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress, lack of sleep, a dysregulated nervous system. It could also be my hormones at play. And that is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Any shit show can do it. Just answer a few questions about what you've been going through and where you're at in life. After taking this quiz, you'll get personalized recommendations to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So I took this hormone quiz myself. The quiz suggested that my body may be overloaded with estrogen, which is affecting me in all kinds of ways. And one of the recommendations that I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. Now, taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's also about investing in our healing journey. And so by taking this quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, which will allow you to start making small, intentional changes to support you on this healing journey. Whether it's the Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So if you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find out the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ADULTCHILD for 15% off today. All right, Chicho, so if you're like me and you care about your skin, you want to have nice looking skin, perhaps you have sensitive skin, but you don't want to fuss with or have the time for a 7-step skincare routine, then this one is for you. Le Pure Naturals Beef Tallow Face Cream, which I have been using for the past few months, and my skin has been thanking me. So this face cream is gentle, simple, and effective, made with real natural ingredients you can actually pronounce. No synthetic fillers, no chemicals you can't identify, just nutrient-rich beef tallow, pure essential oils, and beneficial ingredients like raw honey and vitamin E. It's one jar, one step, and you're done. Totally shit show proof. Perfect for anyone who wants healthy skin without the hassle. So if you're ready to unlock your natural glow and discover the power of nature's original skincare, then head on over to lepurenaturals.com/adultchild for 40% off. That is lepure, L-A-P-U-R-E, naturals.com/adultchild for 40% off. Go get this great deal. Your face wants this. Your face needs this.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, everyone. I am truly and deeply grateful to be here. Shame has ruled my life, and it's been through the work I've been doing as an adult child, and particularly the work in this community, that I'm resolving it. Now, when I shared about a week ago about my mother and accepting the way she died, was a huge, huge, huge step for me. And after that, I've had a week of numbness, a week of, I can't focus on anything. I can't think. I can't work. I can't. And all I'm doing is rewatching cooking shows. And I realized something, a pattern in my healing in the work that I've been doing here. And the pattern is that I have shared here moments, events that have caused me great shame that I have never, ever spoken aloud. And I've said them aloud here. And I realize it's part of the pattern of my healing. So I now understand that my week-long kind of doldrums, I used to think of it as failure. Oh, I'm going backwards. I'm sinking into a depression. Well, I understand now that what I'm doing is I'm gearing up for the next thing. This is a period of rest, and I see that now. It's made it easier. So I have shared here before that, well, one, that still remains a a deep pocket of sort of amnesia is my second and third grades. I can't remember a thing. I can't remember a teacher. I can't remember a classroom. It's just a total blank. Now, one of the things that has come back to me that I want to share, that it's come as a result of this week of just being calm and sitting with my sort of inner boredom. I'm not sure what grade it was in, but I have a feeling that it was second grade. And where I lived as a child was at 3,500 feet, and it was a dry desert, and it snowed, so we had cold winters. And I walked to and from school, and I remember, for some reason, and I remember the winter, walking home through the slush and through the snow, and I've just remembered I could not go to the bathroom at school. So here's this second grader going to school, and I spend the whole day trying not to urinate, the entire day. And I now, as an adult, and the fact that, you know, the first thing I'm going to check is if there was a bathroom nearby. I don't know why I did that, but I know that I would walk home, and walking home through the snow, it was a nightmare, because I would walk and pray that I could get home and go to the bathroom. And nearly every single day, I would get to a point where I couldn't hold it anymore. And I would just wet myself. And now, as I'm processing that, two things. One, I must have been freezing, walk home with urine all over me. And the other thing that's weird, and I'm in this is where this group has been so wonderful for me. It gives me a space to process things in a community and not have it rattle around in my head. My mother, who was always so disparaging of me, I cannot remember her ever complaining about me coming home wet. I can't. And now I'm thinking, she judged me on everything. Why not that? So anyway, I'm sharing today because I'm on a new path to discovery and why I could not go to the bathroom at school all day, why I wet myself, why I cannot remember my mother scolding me. Somehow I just remember her quietly taking these wet clothes in 56. I mean, we used real fabrics. So in the winter, you wore wool, you wore cotton. There was not synthetics. So now I'm piecing together what was going on in my life with that. The beauty of this community is it allows for us in our differences to be whole and to be human. And I've become a human being. I've become an adult human being with understanding, and the level of fear has diminished. And I know that as I work through this and stay with this particular episode, I'll be releasing myself from a great deal of shame that sits with me. So I love you all. I love this community. As I always say, this is a divine space, and I'm blessed to be here. Thank you.
I think shame is like it's everything. It's all of the things, that have happened to me that I regret in my life, the addiction, the self-harm, you know, the codependency, all of it is because of shame. I used to think it was fear, and that's true, because I think shame and fear kind of go hand in hand, but it's like fear that nobody will love me, fear that I'm never going to be good enough, fear that I will, you know, do everything wrong, fear that I just can't handle life. And all of that is because of the shame that I've been working with my therapist for, I don't know, at least a while, like a couple months, on kind of getting to the root of my shame. And I keep peeling back layers, and there's more, you know, there's just so much. And it goes back to, I mean, I've had bullying, you know, I've had sexual assault. I've had all of these things that have added on to the shame. But I think it started with being a child with, you know, parents who weren't able to take care of me, parents who, well, like my mom who raised me, she was my stepmom, but she raised me from the age of like six she put all of her shame on me, you know? So it was like anything that she criticized me for, now I can look back and see, oh, that was how she felt about herself. But as a kid, it was just like, I thought she hated me. Like, I was just so horrible. Why was I so horrible? Why could I do nothing right? And it, like, then she would do things like make fun of me, like with the bra thing, and say, you know, what do you need a bra for? Like, because I wasn't very developed. And just, she shamed my body so much. She would say, get out of bed, fat ass, get your fat ass over here, get your fat ass down here, all the time. And she was very obese. And I was a chubby kid. I've always been overweight. And I have been working through that because I've realized that my self-hatred is because I saw her in myself when I would look in the mirror and see fat. And I learned to hate myself. And even though I know not to anymore, to undo that takes so much work. And I'm still trying all the time. And it's like, Every new layer I peel back, then I realize, oh, this is still like a thing happening in my life that I didn't know was still happening. And body shame is a huge thing. I have shame about things that have been done to me, things that I've done. You know, it just never ends for us. I feel like even just carrying the shame of having a fucking alcoholic for a parent. Well, I had two, and a drug addict, and, you know, just all of that is a lot. And I think that's the key. I know for me, it's like, I feel like I'm finally getting, like, I had to peel back the layers of what happened to get to this layer where it's like, this is what's how I really feel about myself, my core beliefs that are wrong, that I really need to change and fix and heal myself. And trying to love myself is incredibly hard because I think, oh yeah, I love myself. I know I deserve all the good in the world. But it's like you have to take action to counter every thought and feeling that you have that comes from that place of shame, you know? So it's a constant everyday struggle. And right now I'm kind of in the dating world trying to be, and it is triggering everything so bad. And I'm just trying to work through it. And like, it's hard. Like, yeah. But I think knowing that I think a lot of my shame isn't really mine. I think a lot of it belongs to other people. And that's important for me to remember. Yeah, that's all. Thanks.
My family, especially my Nana, would say no shame in like the most shaming tone. And it was as if you could just never have enough shame. You probably should have more. You know, it was like it would be said about what somebody was wearing, if it was too big, didn't fit well, if it was too small, you know, if she felt like the hemline of something on somebody was too short, if you didn't do something well enough or didn't make an abundance of something. It was just everything that anyone could do. There needed to be more shame added. And I feel like every time she would make those comments, more shame would be added onto me, whether or not those comments were directed at me. And yeah, just the layers of shame. Like, I remember going very distinctly, remember going shopping for my first bra, and in the middle of the store, like, why are we saying things so loudly and commenting on my lack of chest so loudly in the middle of the store? And then when we get home, like, my mom thinks it's a good idea to hold it up and show everybody in the house. Like, this is a private thing. Like, can we just not? And then they call it cute. But then, I don't know, there's just the mixed messages. It's just like, there's just so fucking many of them. And it's so laborious, like labor intensive to try to unpack all of it. And like Marie said, like, I know a lot of the shame is not mine, but the letting go of it and all of the areas that it infiltrates is just, it's a lot of work. And Andrea, what you were saying earlier about shame, feeling shame over the lack of care and involvement from your family, I feel that so much. I think, you know, my role in my family is so confusing to me. You know, I feel like in some ways, I'm the hero child, but in other ways, I'm the scapegoat. And in other ways, I just feel like all of the roles are fit. And I don't know if that's common among only children, but I also grew up in my home with my younger cousin. So in a way, I was the oldest. But yeah, it's just, it's hard. And I think, you know, everyone talks about like, oh, Ashley's like really got it together and like, look at her doing all of these things. But they're also like criticizing me at the same time and like not actually being supportive. And, you know, they want me to be there and like be a part of everything. But like they, you know, don't take initiative to like be there for me. Like I remember last minute them reaching out for more details on my like college graduation so they could come. And then like only like I think only my Nana and my mom ended up coming. So it's just it's really confusing. The shame, the layers of shame are seemingly endless. And it's really confusing trying to figure out what shame is, you know, is actually mine and what is, you know, other family member shame that's been shoved onto me. And just all of the things that come up that I don't recognize as shame, but really are. So yeah, it's a journey for sure. Thank you all.
I got some stuff to say about shame. Yeah, this hits home real hard. Growing up as a closeted little queer kid in a very evangelical church, shame was everything. Shame ran my life. Shame was everything that I was. And I knew that I needed to get ahead of it to make sure that no one could touch me. So I built these giant walls and I made sure that I was ahead of it, that I was good at everything I did. And I was hypervigilant at all times to make sure my family was okay, my friends, everyone that was around me. And everything that I was about making sure that no one could tell that I was secretly a little gay boy. Everything that I wore, the shoes that I wore, the classes I took, the things I did, the activities, the friends I had, everything I did was to make sure that no one could find out. Because if it did come out, I remember my first therapist in my weird Christian college that I went to, just breaking down the fact that I felt so much shame about who I was. And I've always thought, this is real talk right now, I've always thought I've had a lisp. And I hate it because the idea that someone could tell that I was gay just by the sound of my voice killed me inside. So I did everything in my power to make sure that my voice was different and deeper. And I call it my Home Depot voice now, my like cowboy mic voice, when I drop it a few octaves to make sure that like when I'm talking to contractors, they know that I'm a man's man and whatnot. And it's just masking. It's pretty fucked up actually, but it's kind of funny also. And some of my friends notice it and I do it not intentionally, but like I have a really weird thing about my voice. Is I was taught to not like it, and I was always like in the praise band and I played bass in it because everyone needs a bass player. Everyone else play guitar or play the drums. I was a bass player and I secretly wanted to sing, and I was in choir, I was in ensemble, I was in all the things, but I couldn't do it when it was just me because I hated the thought that if someone out there didn't like my voice, if they were to say something, it would kill me so deeply that I would never allow anyone to think that I liked me for who I was. And so like so much of my adult life has been coming back to the fact that I am finding my voice today and I'm getting to say that I like to sing. And a few weeks ago, I started learning to play fucking guitar because I want to, because I want to be able to sing and do it. And like the guy that I'm dating right now, like he likes when I sing in the car. And I fucking like doing it. I enjoy it. And I'm believing that someone else can like me for who I am and believe good things about me is just mind-blowing to me, because there's this deep guttural sense of shame that so many, there's an amazing book called The Velvet Rage about queer men that specifically have so much shame. And then like in our like 20s, we learn this overcompensation. And so we fixate on getting like going to the gym like maniacs to get the perfect body, to have the perfect life, to make lots of money, to be successful, to go on wild trips and stuff, to overcompensate for this deep sense of shame that we have inside and how it doesn't fucking work. And recently, like the comparison has been coming up for me because I feel like I'm 34 and I'm fucking maintenance guy. And like I the shame is popping up and I'm working really hard to not let it fucking win. because it doesn't deserve to. And I've worked too hard in so many programs to let that take away my fucking joy. The fact that I am finding my voice, the fact that I am loving myself, that I'm allowed to be loved by others, people in community, people in sobriety, and like me for me, like not some version of myself. Like I don't have to be whatever the fuck I thought I had to be. I just get to be Mike. And like my higher power likes that and enjoys it and wants to hear when I talk about my struggles and my shame and boy stuff and all these different things. Like I just get to show up as myself. And that's so different because that's the antidote to that overcompensation of I don't have to be all these things to all these people. I just get to be enough to myself. And that is revolutionary and changing my life. And I am so grateful for it and so thankful that there's a whole room of people here that are doing this together because I sure as fuck can't do it alone. And I'm really grateful that we've got this place to come and talk about it because it was killing me. And I'm not going to let this shit kill me. I have worked too hard to let it kill me. So we are here together saying fuck off to this and that shame will not get us and it doesn't have to and none of us have to die to it. So I love you all. Thank you so much for everything you are.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.